Praise the Lord, everyone. Hallelujah. It's good to be here today. These are amazing times that we're living in, and we're going to get in the Word of God and see what we can learn today. But before we do, we're going to sing that chorus, "Keep on walking by faith." You know, I get so many letters coming through my office, hundreds and hundreds of them, and people are beginning to sign off by saying, "Keep on walking by faith," at the bottom of all these letters. So I know they're listening. That's gratifying. That's wonderful. So, and we need to do that because it is a walk of faith. I am here today strictly by faith because I know that what I am about to do as far as bringing forth a message, and I honestly believe this, I am totally incapable of doing this. This isn't by my talent or intellect or anything. You wouldn't want that. But I'm here by faith because I know that God is able to bring forth something for us to hear and to understand. And that's what I want, something from heaven. Not from the minds of men, but from God. He wrote this word. He can certainly bring it alive within us and quicken us by it. So let's sing this chorus, "Keep on walking by faith." Amen. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Once more. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Dear Father in heaven, we come to Thee in prayer this morning, asking Thee, O Lord, that Thou wouldst mercifully and graciously help us to understand Thy Word. Let it come forth to the glory of Thy name, and let every heart receive it. Help us, O Lord, that our lives would be changed. O God, that we would be completely committed unto Thee, given unto Thee, O Lord, for Thy purpose and for Thy work. And I pray that Thou wouldst make every one of us a shining light in a world of darkness. As we bring forth Thy glorious words of the everlasting gospel, help all of us to be sure witnesses in a world that is confused and lost and being driven by the devil. So, Lord, help us now, we pray. O Lord, Thy blood is effectual, and we know that through the fervent prayer of Thy people and through the power of Thy saving blood, souls will be brought unto Thee. Now, Lord Jesus, let Thy will be done. Let Satan be bound, rebuked, cast out. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. All right. You know, I said a moment ago that I'm not capable of doing this. And if you would have told me years ago that someday I would be standing in front of people speaking without any notes, I would have never believed you. But the fact is, I'm not a noted speaker. I never use notes at all. And I just get up here and open the Bible and trust God to give me the words to say. I wouldn't know how to do it any other way. And so I really don't know any more than you do what's coming next. So we're just going to see what happens here. I'm going to continue on with a message that I started last week. And those who weren't here, we do have the recording, but I'm going to do this in such a way as you really won't have missed anything. So we're going to go into this. You know, years ago when I was in high school, that's a lot of years ago, I was told by my 12th grade English teacher that someday I would be a public speaker. And I said, never. I will never. I hate it. I never want to get up in front of anybody and talk. I said, you're absolutely wrong about that. And then later on in technical college, I had an English teacher, a Jewish woman, and she used to like to talk to me. I talked to her about the Bible We talked all Old Testament, and I showed her the Savior in the Old Testament. Amen. That's right after I became a Christian, just fresh out of witchcraft, and the Lord gave me a lot of zeal. But I talked to her, and she said, let me try something with you. She gave me a picture, and she said, I want you to write a story about this picture. It was clipped out of a magazine. So I went home, and just having the picture, no words or anything, I wrote an essay on what I saw in the picture. Then she did it again. And she looked at me and said, David, in that little Jewish voice, she said, David, someday you're going to be a writer. And I said, Mrs. Shokrat, no way. I could never write. I will never be a writer. I hate writing. And so what did the Lord do? He called me to preach and He called me to write. Everything I hate. And knowing that I have no ability to do it, it had to be Him. Isn't it great how the Lord works?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to continue on now with this message on Satan's final blueprint. Because Satan does have a plan, a system. And all you have to do is look around to see it operating. It's everywhere you look. You can't miss it. Even though almost everybody does. It is devised in such a way that people are kept in the dark. There are way too many secrets in this world. Things going on behind the scenes, behind the curtains. But there is a God in heaven who knows it all and sees it all. And He does communicate with His people. And those who know the Word of God can discern by the Spirit that wrote this Word exactly what is happening. These are frightening times in this world. Look at our presidential candidates. Look at the front runner. Somehow he just doesn't fit in, does he? More on that in a little while. But what we're going to do today is, first of all, understand a few things. One is, when God looks at any government in this world, and this holds true all the way back in history, when God looks at any government, He sees a beast. Now people will wave the flag, put their hand over their heart, and pledge allegiance. Of course, John could tell you what the hand over the heart is. The Masons do that, don't they? Remember all the pictures in history of Napoleon and these guys? They stick their hand in their coat like that. The hand over the heart. So you go into the Masonic Lodge, which is the very Lodge of Lucifer.
Amen.
And by the way, Sarah Palin endorses the Masonic Lodge. I went right to her governor's website, so nobody can say it was kind of put together as a collage on a computer. No, I went right to her government website, and she declared an entire week as Prince Hall Masonic Lodge Week. Of course, the Prince Hall Lodge is the lodge that especially caters to the black people, the African American people. And she had an entire week set aside in Alaska as governor by official proclamation that this was Masonic Week. Of course, they say she's a Christian. You know, really, she doesn't. Can you imagine her being president anyway? If McCain were elected and he died and she became president, she looks like somebody that should be operating a flannel graph at a daycare center. You know, not trying to run the world. Yeah, that's a dangerous situation. Barack Obama, if he becomes the president, I'll just say it this way, this nation has had it. It's over. It's cooked. It's all done. That's how close we are to oblivion. It's right in front of us. And I don't know what it will take to wake people up. Even the remnant that say they do know their Lord, should we not all be calling upon Him more than ever? Shouldn't we reach out in prayer? You see, people will say, but don't you realize this is a big machine out there? This is a large satanic operation. They can come and get you. Well, we can come and get them. in prayer. God still has a remnant that knows how to pray. And in the book of Daniel, it says that in the last days, when the powers of Antichrist rise up, that they that do know their God shall do exploits. How do we do exploits? We get a hold of the God of heaven who can do all things. I'm saying that to encourage your faith this morning. Because this is a walk of faith. And we can see faith demonstrated as it breaks forth into miracles. And I'll tell you what, in these last days, you're going to live by miracles. The just shall live by faith. There's no other way but to trust in the Almighty and to look for the impossible to happen. Now, I believe that. But understand this, that when God looks at any government, He sees a beast. If you recall back in Daniel chapter 7, we're not turning there right now, we're going to be starting in Revelation 13, but I just want to lay this out for you. Clear back in the book of Daniel chapter 7, the Word of God tells us of world empires. Now there have been six of them. Egypt was a world empire. Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome. These were all world empires, and God saw them as beasts. Particularly in Daniel 7, it mentions Babylon as a lion, Medo-Persia as a bear, Greece as a leopard, and Rome as an indescribable monstrosity, ugly beast with great iron teeth that was so vicious that once it destroyed something, it even stamped the residue. And then he described a little horn that came up on that beast. And we understand what that little horn is, with a mouth speaking great things. And I'll identify that shortly. But I just want you to understand, God always looks at a government as a beast. And with all the flag waving and all the patriotism is what? It's an ism. What's a patriot? A father. It's ancestor worship. Worship of the fathers is what patriotism is. That patriotism. They tell you that's a good and wonderful thing. Should not all people worship God only? You see, I'm not for any isms at all. I got an email from a man yesterday. He said, you need to get off from talking about Islam, the Muslims. This man claims to be a Christian. He says, far more dangerous things than the Muslims. He says, there's Catholicism, there's Zionism. He named off these different isms. Well, I don't embrace any ism at all. How about you? If we are true to God, we can't have any isms. It's a belief system. Now, I'll tell you what. I'm not going to get off from Islam because it is the rising power of this latter beast that is taking over the world. But I'll tell you this, that years ago, in fact, after World War I, did you know the Illuminati almost died? Do you know why? They reached a place where there really weren't any isms. There were no rights. There were no lefts. You see, who does the Ku Klux Klan need more than anybody else? The NAACP, the National Association for the Advancement of the Colored People. Who does the NAACP need more than anybody else? They really need them. The KKK. This is called dialectic. Hegelian dialectic. Two opposing forces clashing with each other so that you control both at the top and you can harness the power of the opposition. That's why we have Democrats and Republicans. It doesn't make any difference which one, as far as an ideology, gets into office. It's this big machine running, being controlled at the very top. And right now, I believe they are putting together a final plan for globalism, one world ism, and they need a big religious ism to predominate it. And there will be a clash between Islam and United Christendom, so-called, and the focal point is going to be the state of Israel. That's going to be the focal point of the battle. And when you take sides, you're actually helping that system. What we need to do is take no sides at all, but go up to God and let Him pour down His power upon His people. The Illuminati nearly faded away and died because there were no rights or lefts there at all for crafty manipulation and control. It was a strange time right after World War I. The United States was isolationist. See, they tried to get you in this League of Nations. And Woodrow Wilson was behind all of that. That Harvard president who became president of the United States. There's another man from Harvard right now who wants to be the president. One Barack Obama. Of course, we know that Woodrow Wilson, as president, made many, many false promises. He was an Illuminist extraordinaire. And that man who did so much damage never got his League of Nations. A couple of things happened. For one thing, he contracted syphilis and ended up dying as an imbecile. But you don't read about that in history books, do you? And Mrs. Wilson signed all the documents for him because he was out of his mind. But you don't read about that too much. You have to go digging to find that material. And how true it is to this day of anything. If you want to find out what's happening in the United States, you're going to have to go over to European news sources. That's the only way you'll learn anything. The media is so managed and so controlled, and they'll only tell you what you are supposed to believe. But again, there's a God in heaven who reveals all things to us. So we are looking at a time right now where even though that League of Nations failed, and actually it failed because of one man who stood up in the Senate, the real Henry Cabot Lodge, who at that time, I'm giving you a little history today, who stood up and said, we don't need the rest of the world, we're a great enough nation, we can produce our own goods, we can export, we don't need to import, we have our own economy, we don't need the whole world. And he torpedoed that whole plan, and it failed. And the Illuminati nearly failed. Later on, there was an imposter who called himself Henry Cabot Lodge Jr. Remember during the Kennedy and Johnson administrations? That he just took that name. He was not had nothing to do with the original Henry Cabot Lodge. But anyway, we know that a beast, there's always been a beast rising up, and right now the final one is rising up. I mentioned in Daniel the four beasts that were described there. And when you go over now to the book of Revelation, in chapter 13, even though all those empires failed, even though all those empires were destroyed, yet another beast did, in fact, rise up. But it was not to be the final one. In Revelation 13, 1, you read about the rising of that beast. And I will describe it to you. In Revelation 13, 1, it says, and I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea. That would be a government. This is a vision that John was seeing. Just think about that. The United States government right now, as God looks down from heaven, sees a beast. And boy, it is pretty ugly. Pretty ugly. Who runs it anyway? W? George W. Bush, is he really in charge? I'll never forget how Nixon, the man who wanted to make everything perfectly clear, and never made anything clear at all, He kept saying it. I want to make one thing perfectly clear. Yes, Mr. Nixon, and what it is, we're still waiting to hear. But he called his staff together, his advisors, and he said, I want to have, and this is an attorney thinking, because he was actually Nelson Rockefeller's personal attorney, Richard Milhouse Nixon. And he lived in an apartment which was an entire floor of a skyscraper, directly below Nelson Rockefeller in New York City in Manhattan. But he said to his advisors, I want to have a flowchart of the entire United States government. You know how they have the little boxes with the names and titles and then little lines connecting to show who's in charge, who's the boss, right? After months went by, he called them in and they said, we don't have it ready yet. More months went by. We don't have it ready yet. Finally, he said, when will you have this ready? And the chairman of the committee to identify who's running the U.S. government said, we don't know and we can't tell. He said, there's so many interlocking directorates and so many committees and so many things. He said, we don't know who's running and it's just running by itself. Well, you can be sure there's a puppeteer running all of those sock puppets. Come on. Somebody's doing it. But they couldn't tell. That's why when Dr. Adam Weishaupt, the Jewish-born man who became a Catholic priest, a Jesuit, and went underground at Ingolstadt University, when he and his five compadres went into this cave under Ingolstadt, they called upon what they called the controlling unknown. They always say, what you don't know can't hurt you. Not true. What you don't know, those are the most dangerous things. Those are the things that can hurt you the most. But it was Satan himself who wanted to be known as the controlling unknown. Satan loves the darkness. His people love the darkness. You've got a holiday coming up here where they're putting orange lights all over the place. They didn't do that years ago. Hanging cobwebs from the trees and stringing up dummies to look like ghosts and turning their whole front lawn into a graveyard. What spirit drives this? What's the power behind it? Why is Halloween such a big deal? And even though people are broke, short on money, they get money for that. These are things that are spirit-driven. And it's the spirit of the devil. It's that spirit of Harry Potter. You know, Janet Rowling, the author of the Harry Potter series, who is now the number one billionaire in the world. On the billionaire list. Did you know that? Now, I'm not talking about people in governments and so forth, but private citizens or subjects. They don't have citizens in England, they have subjects because they're subject to the crown. She actually just recently gave £1 million to the cause of the party, actually, of Gordon Brown. By the way, Gordon Brown, the Prime Minister of England, recently put on a communist uniform, bedecked with a lot of red. He stood up in front, this was in the Daily Telegraph, London Daily Telegraph. You didn't read about it over here. He stood up in front of England and said, we are all socialists now, comrade. Do you remember, are you old enough to remember the days when the word comrade was still used? Commissar? Communism? Communism? Do you remember those days? These are days of strange beasts rising up. You know, comrade, that bothers me. We'll be hearing it over here pretty soon. If that man who was born in Kenya becomes president, now some people say, he was not, he's an American. Hey, his own grandmother recently announced that he was born in Kenya. He's disqualified. But they won't disqualify him because they've got a use for him. That's the problem. He's a part of the Chicago racketeering squad over there. political racketeers. Remember back there in the 60s, they had all these underground organizations, the 1313 of Chicago. Remember all those SNCC, Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, H. Rapp Brown, all these characters? Remember that? CORE, the Urban League, all the rioting going on? Hey, you ain't seen nothing yet. Now, this beast that rose up, and this is what John is seeing here. We're going to talk about two beasts today. It's all a part of Satan's blueprint. But in Revelation 13, here is John standing upon the sand of the sea. He's on the Isle of Patmos. He's looking and he sees this latter-day beast. Remember what I said about Daniel 7? There was a lion that had two wings, indicating speed. There was a bear representing Medo-Persia, had three ribs in its mouth, voracious beast that just had ripped something apart. And then there was the leopard of the Grecian Empire with four heads and four wings. And then there was this indescribable beast of Rome. All those empires fell. But now watch. In the last days, folks, our time. Let's bring it close to home. He sees this in advance. This is a prophecy. He said, I saw a beast rise up out of the sea having seven heads and ten horns. Later we can find that the seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. That is without a doubt Rome. Okay? And the Bible comes out and tells you that. Now, upon his horns, ten crowns. Did you know that our world at this very time is divided into ten sections? Ten horns. Furthermore, our nation is divided ten ways. Actually, through a Federal Reserve system. I wonder why it is that there's 13 regional IRS offices. You know, the witching number. Why is it that the communication satellites that run all of the networks and so forth, why are there precisely 13 of those? Numbers mean something, don't they? But anyway, in this case, there are 10 crowns on these 10 horns. This is governmental leadership. This beast is a united government of some kind. How do I know that? It says, upon his horns, 10 crowns, and upon his heads, the names of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. See the different ancient empires all rolled into one in this new beast that rises up. And the dragon, who is that? Satan. The one the witches call Lucifer. Satan is the dragon, we know that. Gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Thus this new beast that rises up has the very power, the seat, and the authority of Satan himself. This, my friends, is a beast, a conglomerate, united beast, united governments, with a woman riding on its back. A false church, a harlot church, a phony system, a decoy, one that is really devil-driven and full of the devil. And I'm talking about the Roman Catholic Church, and I know that's not popular to do these days, but I'm never going to shut up.
Amen.
We drove past that bail box down the street. And people were filing in to watch the sacrifice of the Mass. They go there to sit there and do responsive reading and genuflecting and making signs of the cross in front of them and all this religious gobbledygook that they've got, light the candles, pay the money, pay the pew rental, pay for the candles, pay for the rosary, pay the priest, pay for a scapular, pay, 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 right? And they end up having hell to pay. And they go in there. I know, I'll get letters saying, stay off the Catholics, stay off the Muslims, stay off of everything, say nothing, smile, acquiesce before the powers of darkness. Everybody's okay, you're okay, I'm okay, we're all okay. Let's just all be big, dumb, and happy. Huh? I think we need to call the things the way they are, the way the Bible reveals them. Come on. Don't you get sick of this? Oh, never say anything contrary to anybody. Hey, woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you. You know, I really have a problem with somebody like Bush going in and attacking Iraq. Now he's in there, he's giving away, trying to give away the Golan Heights. There. Is it his to give? What's going on here? Who does he think he is anyway? See, the beast is very, very presumptuous. Satan still thinks he's a god. He wants to be God. He knows he's not. When you got to run for the office, it means you don't have it. But he wants to be God. He's called the God of this world. He wants worship. He wants servitude. He wants adoration. And he has many, many, many ways of trying to get it. A multiple conglomerate of religions and all these systems out there. And we won't take the time to go and identify all of those right now because we don't have time to do it. All I will tell you is that anything that is not of God, anything that is contrary to Jesus Christ, is false. I don't care what it is. Oh, isn't that a nice rushing mighty wind we got out there? Praise the Lord. I like that sound. In fact, I love the sound of a wind. It reminds me of the Spirit of God on the day of Pentecost. There came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. We've had unusual things like that happen in our church, you know. I remember one Wednesday night, it was absolutely quiet. There wasn't a cloud in the sky. It was clear. It was quiet. One of those extra quiet nights. And we were worshiping God, and all of a sudden, this is years ago, but all of a sudden, there was a wind that came moving through, and it rattled the windows, and it just whoosh, there it was, and just as fast, there it wasn't. And I went out, and I opened the door and looked outside, and it was quiet and calm. And then there was the time I baptized a young man right in the baptistry here. And I put him down in the water and I said, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and every door in the place flew open. Right then, downstairs, the side door, the back door, deadbolt, bolt sticking out, surface bolt here, flush bolt rather, on the secondary door sticking up, never ripped anything out of the header. But the bolt was still thrown. All I can tell you is something went out of here pretty fast. And everybody looked like, huh? It was just a whoosh. That's exciting, isn't it? We need to get whooshed some more. Yeah. Going to be a lot of, and not the kind that Benny Hinn does, he whooshes people down. I'm not talking about that. That's phony baloney. Ah. Anyway, now we're talking about this beast. The dragon gave him his power. And it says in verse 3, and I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. We know that these empires were destroyed. We know also that Jesus dealt a deadly wound to Satan, a head wound. Remember back in Genesis? It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Our Savior literally kicked the devil in the head. But yet, the devil's still operating. His empire's still operating. He lives on for a while. Because all prophecy must be fulfilled and God's perfect timing must be kept. And they worshiped the dragon. Who? All these people. How can people be so blind and foolish and ignorant as to worship the devil in the form of a religion, in the form of idols, in the form of ideologies, in the form of catechisms and religious teachings, not thinking, not discerning, not knowing the Word of God? How many people know their Bibles? How many have ever really even read it all the way through once? I'm telling you, we live in a world out there where there is a famine and a dearth. People don't know what the Bible says. And there are some who know just enough of it that when I preach to them, they say, "Yeah, I get it. Praise the Lord." And they dig deeper. But when you find that people who don't know it at all and are kept ignorant by religion, what hope do they have? Quite a question, huh? And how many people are in that case right now? Oh, they're entertained and they're distracted by this world. There's so much going on. They major on all of that. But I'll tell you, the only way you'll ever figure things out, really you never will figure it out, but you'll have it revealed by God from heaven. And so in your mind, it'll seem like you figured it out, but really it was God that showed it to you. Oh yes, they worship the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. A dragon-powered government. A dragon-powered beast. Remember? A beast is a government. A government is a beast. Okay? And they worship the beast, saying, "Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" A united beast? All these governments becoming one beast? All the ancient empires with their religions, with their belief systems, all becoming one power? I remember standing in front of the United Nations for the first time back in 1995, and I looked at all these flags, all the flags of the world lined up there in front of that building. And I knew how that building got there. It was donated by Rockefeller. And I knew about the UN Charter, how it was copied word for word from the Russian Communist Constitution. And our government approved it, even though they didn't even truly have a quorum. They approved it. They can do that. They can run things through quickly. Look what they did with the bailout package. Representative Burgess from Texas said he was thrown out of more meetings that weekend than he ever would have believed possible. They literally gave him the bum's rush out. And he was a representative representing 825,000 people in northern Texas. He stood there and looked at Nancy Pelosi and said, "Madam Speaker, then I understand we're under martial law." That was on C-SPAN. But what do people do about that? Total apathy. So what? You wonder if their brains haven't been pickled in the brine of delusion and brainwashing for so long, they really can't put two thoughts together to get any continuity. And so they passed that monstrosity. And we know what happened after that. Has it fixed anything? Of course not. Of course, it added $17,000 to everybody's national debt, you know. Right after they passed that, the national debt clock in New York City, I stood in front of that thing one time and watched it. Those numbers are changing so fast, it's like the blink of an eye. And it's just constantly racing. Here's that big clock up there in Manhattan on display, big digital clock, and it ran out of digits. They ran out, they can't get it. It couldn't go any higher. It's like your calculator, that E comes on, you know? Can't go any higher. I mean, we've got a space shuttle that travels around the Earth 240 miles up. One stack of $100 bills reaching from here to the moon. Our space shuttle would cut right through that thing at 240 miles because that stack of $100 bills goes 240,000 miles to the moon, and it would take 26 of them. Of those stacks, of hundreds, they equal our national debt. Now you stop and figure that out. How do you pay something like that off? Well, AIG Insurance Group went and had a party at St. Regis Resort. Or pardon me, I think it's Regis, they would call it Saint. Something like that, in California. Out on an island. Where they spent $147,000 on meals. $150,000 or something on rooms. Just a little group of these men, you know? What was it, $24,000 or $47,000? I can't remember all these numbers, but, you know, on massages and manicures and things like that. I mean, they were broke, weren't they? AIG was really broke. So what do? The executives go, and they have a big wild wing ding because the government just handed them a pile of money. George Bush's friends. You know, every so often, you know Satan smirks? Did you know that? You want to see Satan smirk? Look at George Bush. Look at Barack Obama. They asked Barack Obama, "Have you ever had a doubt in your mind?" And he smiled, "Never. Never." He's the one who stood up and said that a voice, a light is going to come down from somewhere. And a voice is going to speak to you. And you will experience an epiphany. And that voice will say, "Vote for Barack." He's called the chosen one. The anointed one. First they were calling him the one. They keep adding things in front of that. This junior senator from the Chicago political machine, who came from nowhere, and now he's the front runner for President of the United States. Miracles can still happen. I'm saying if that man becomes president, our time is just about up. And 2 weeks from Tuesday, we're going to find out, I think, unless you never know these days, that lunatic in the White House. Can I get in trouble for talking like that? I don't care. He's a lunatic. That lunatic in the White House could start another war. Impose martial law. I think we're already under, but he could impose it and bring the troops out. After all, the Northern Command is already on standby, ready for crowd control in the streets. That was in the Army Times newspaper. But people don't care. As long as they get their 12-pack of beer and their Wiener Schnitzels and their Packer game, that's all that matters, right? That's life. So what if the Chinese come marching down the street? It's all right, we got a Packer game. Just as long as they wait till it's over, see? Huh? Pass the pretzels, you know. Go pick up another 12-banger. That's the way they think. Anyway. Yeah, Radical Meyer here. But it's true. Anyway, let's look at this. So there was, verse 5 says, there was given to him, unto him, a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Of course, 42 months was the same time as the ministry of Jesus, 3.5 years, 1,260 days. Very short time, really, isn't it? And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name. Folks, when Obama gets up there and says what he says, he is do you realize he's blaspheming God? Do you realize the Bible says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." And there was a woman somewhere, I read this in the news, she just mentioned that, you know, if it gets bad enough, somebody could get him. Next thing, that's all she said. Just conjecture. She had a knock on her door from 2 Secret Service agents. Threats against Obama. If you think it's bad now, just wait till that African gets in. I got nothing against Africans per se, but I got everything against that particular African. Now some people say, "Oh, racist, racist, racist." I didn't say that they should give him 2 watermelons and send him back. I didn't say that. Did I? I didn't say that. That's not racism. Just call him an African. Anyway. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Folks, this is a one world government. Ein Volk, ein Reich, ein Führer. They're not exactly saying seek Heil, but they might as well. It just isn't unto the Führer of old. But it's a beast. Remember Hitler was called the Beast of Berlin? Remember that old song? World War II. Anybody, do you remember from your history? Are any of you old enough to remember? No, I guess that was a long time ago. See, I was born in 1950, but I knew a lot of people that came through the war, and I studied history. I had very good teachers, and I read a lot of books. In my younger days, I read a book every day. But I read a lot of things, studied a lot, and I remember. I just happened to remember it. Either that or the Lord's prompting it to me. But do you remember that some of the things Hitler was called, some of the things he said? Hitler said he was going to put the world in order. New world order. Right? He came bringing change to Germany. He ran on the platform of change. Anybody doing that now? The Beast of Berlin. It's a little different twist on it, but it's the same thing, really. You must remember that song, Stalin Wasn't Stalin. Oh, that's pretty descriptive. Stalin wasn't Stalin when he told the Beast of Berlin he'd never rest content till they'd driven him from the land. So they called the Yanks in English and proceeded to extinguish the Führer and his vermin. That's how it all began. John, you remember that. They went on, the verse was, the devil he was reading in the good book one day, how the Lord created Adam to walk the righteous way. And it made the devil jealous. He turned green up to his horns, and he swore by things unholy he'd make one of his own. So he packed two suitcases full of grief and misery, and he caught the midnight special going down to Germany. Then he mixed his lies and hatred with fire and brimstone. Then the devil sat upon it. That's how Adolf was born. Now, Adolf got the notion that he was the master race, and he swore he'd bring new order and put mankind in its place. So he set his scheme in motion and was winning everywhere till he up and got the notion for to kick that Russian bear. John remembers that. Well, now Stalin wasn't Stalin when he told the Beast of Berlin. Does that bring back the memory a little? Yeah, he was called a beast. Isn't that amazing, the Bible looks at these governments as beasts. Now, something else begins to happen. People are saying, who could possibly resist this power? For all the kindreds, tongues, and nations are unified on this thing. And they'll force unification economically, as they're calling for right now. China, Russia, America, Great Britain, that isn't great anymore, Britain, they're calling for one monetary system. One money. All right? Now, they've recently called for one permanent president of the European Union. You know, when they had all these delegates and representatives for the European Union, they had all these chairs set up, all these different delegates, there was one chair left empty. Chair number 666. Still hasn't been filled. Is that one going to be kept empty for their host? Verse 8 says, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Well, guess what? When you've been born again of the water and the Spirit, and you are the Lord's child, you have already, your name is written in the book of life. In fact, it was from the foundation of the world. God knows in advance, and this will not destroy you. If any man have an ear to hear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with a sword must be killed with a sword. What's the Lord going to do? He's going to turn their own sword against them. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. But now, we come to the interesting part. In case everything thus far was not interesting enough to you, now we come to the interesting part. Another beast. And the Lord, I'm telling you, I'm careful when I say this. I know the Lord revealed this to me. And I'll explain that. But in verse 13, another beast comes up. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. Another beast, this one, doesn't have 10 horns and 7 heads. It looks like a man, and it's got 2 horns. Horns, of course, represent the ideology of control or the force of the individual. And you look at these big elk and deer and moose and so forth, a big rack of horns on there, you can see some danger there, right? You can see some force there. They could ram you a good one with that. Or a rhino. Okay? The horns, this particular government that rises up now, it's a beast, has 2 horns. Now, what do we know about Islam? Their symbol, now, we know that for help, when people are in distress and so forth, they have over here they have the Red Cross, right? What do they have in Islamic nations? The Red Crescent. What is the symbol? What's on top of every mosque? How about over in Mecca? Over in Medina? Over in Jerusalem? Where they have that Dome of the Rock, Mosque of Omar, with the words written on it, God has no son. I believe in the Son of God. Islam brazenly declares God has no son. What is their symbol? A crescent moon. What does a crescent moon have? 2 horns. 2 sharp horns. 1 on each end. As the moon waxes in light from right to left, moves to halfway, becomes gibbous, which means it's protruded slightly, goes out and becomes full moon and backs off all the way down to the dark moon. Of course, if it's close to a witch's Sabbath, it's called the dark mother moon or a bad moon that rises. Remember Creedence Clearwater Revival? Talking about the end of the world and what portends it is. They don't mind the world ending. They believe a new one's going to rise up. So witches talk about the end of the world all the time. They think that from the ashes a new phoenix will arise. And you will have an age of harmony and understanding and 1,000 years of peace, 1,000-year Reich. Huh? Oh, they got it all figured out, except that they're wrong. You know, this particular religion has for its symbol the crescent moon with 2 horns. We're reading about a beast that rises up that has 2 horns. Now you might say, what does it mean? It looks like a lamb but speaks like a dragon. Did you know that Islam declares itself to be peace? Hey, they're anything but. But that's how the devil works. Always say the opposite of what you are and always accuse the enemy of what you are. That's communist doctrine as well. This is a religion that beheads people. This is the religion of the scimitar, the curved sword, which the Shriners wear on their fez, that funny little hat, the scimitar, the crescent moon with the star, bejeweled, remember? And their password is Mecca Nemesis. Okay, the nemesis or the contrary advocate of power of Mecca. That's the password. Then Mecca becomes a threat or a power to you. Mecca, a nemesis is an opposing power. All right, now, what does it mean? It looks like a lamb, speaks like a dragon. Well, what is the greeting in Islam? Salam. Sounds similar to shalom. Salam in Arabic means peace. Salam, salam. Well, all those salamis are on, there's got bound to be a lot of baloney. Huh? Salami, salami, baloney. Right? They say, better watch out, you get these Muslims mad at you, they'll come get you. Well, they'll have to come and get the Lord too then. I'm just not going to worry about it. I'm going to tell the truth. Somebody better. You know how many gutless wonders there are out there? Yeah, they're radical, sure. But they don't understand the power of God either. But yeah, that's their message. Salam, peace. They'll take that scimitar and lop your head off. Say, salam. It is a religion of hatred, of violence, of threatening, of destruction. It is full of blood. And inside of Barack Obama beats the heart of a Muslim. When those Christian girls over there, when they were having a Democratic National Convention high up in the mountains there in Colorado, there were two Christian girls dressed in nice dresses and looked very nice and proper and so forth, and they had signs that they were survivors of the abortion Holocaust. Anti-abortion. They got a permit that they could walk carrying these signs. And Obama saw this and the other at the convention, and before you know it, police officers were out there. They took those two nice girls and slammed them down in the cement, handcuffed them, and hauled them off, even though they had a permit. Michelle Obama stood up and said, "My husband is going to be a hard taskmaster," and then she smiled. Remember the children of Israel in Egypt who called out to God because of their taskmasters? Remember how Moses led the children of Israel out of slavery, out of bondage, out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage and idolatry, out of the land of baby killing? Remember Pharaoh's decree? Kill all the male children. And how God said He would raise up a prophet like unto Moses. That was Jesus. Right? What is the Antichrist? Anti-Jesus. Therefore, he becomes an anti-type of Moses. That in the last days there's a man who rises up who's the opposite of Moses, who takes the people and leads them back into a land of bondage, back into a land of Egypt. Do you see that type, an anti-type? Comparing Deuteronomy chapter 18 with Acts chapter 3. And now Peter said that Jesus was that prophet that was raised up like unto Moses, because he would lead people out of sin, out of the land of sin and bondage and evil. Therefore, when the Antichrist would rise up, he would also be an anti-type of Moses, leading people back to Egypt, back to abortion, back to all the slavery, back to socialism. Egypt became a socialistic state because everything was confiscated and belonged to Pharaoh. Remember? Now they want to take Joe the plumber's money and spread it everywhere. It's socialism. Even McCain is now starting to say Obama is a socialist. And he's right. He is a socialist. This is the two-horned one. You know, the Lord showed me this. I'm telling you that it started with that crescent moon, and I got thinking, did I ever hear that expression, two-horned one of Islam? Or is God telling me that? I don't think I ever heard it anywhere before. The two-horned one of Islam. And so I went in and did some checking on it. And sure enough, dual quarnain, two-horned one of Islam. It's called the dual quarnain. Dual spelled D-U-H-L. Quarnain, which is Q-A-R-N-A-Y-N. Dual quarnain, which means the two-horned one of Islam. You can find it in the Quran, Quran 18, and there's 26 verses ending with verse 39. And it tells of one who would rise up at the very end of time, which some call the 12th Imam, who would carry Islam to the utmost west. And there it would be determined if those people would be shown kindness or be punished as to whether or not they would accept Islam, the Prophet, and Allah. There's a man who has already... Did you know that Barack Obama has already called in his transition team? Ready to take over? Did you know that he already has asked to be allowed in the White House so he could measure for new curtains and drapes? This is unheard of. But it's a time of unheard of things. And what is he? He's, when he talks, it removes all doubt from my mind. He can say salami, salami, baloney all he wants to. I know what's coming out of that man's mouth, and it's blasphemy. Should we send him one of these recordings after, if he gets in? Whether or not? Speed things up a little? And he exerciseth all the power. You know what's going to happen? I'm going to get, if you think I'm outspoken now, I can feel it coming on. I'm going to get more and more and more outspoken all the time. So get ready for sparks and fireworks. I've had it. It's time. The time is at hand. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast. It's all the same thing, the same devil, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of man. Do you know they have... We live in a time of cards with little magnetic strips on them to do all your buying for you. We live in a time of proximity cards and beyond that, people having things put in their flesh, little chips to open doors for you, to make purchases for you. We are an online, high-tech society of Antichrist. The technology exists. And you're going to see a lot more of it, including holograms, images of men or women that aren't there. You look at them, you see them, three-dimensional. Just like, but if you reached out and touched them, your hand would go right through. They've done this. The Prime Minister of England, Prince Charles, rather, did that, projected his image, and gave a speech from 7,000 miles away, and people thought he was there, and they gasped when, after the speech was over, there was just a blip, and he was gone. It was a hologram. Oh, Barack would love to have one of them. He could be everywhere at once. The devil wants to be omnipresent, you know. In the old days, they used to make statues of Caesar and put them all over the realm. That was his attempt at being omnipresent. Every place you look, statue of Caesar. Yeah, but he was a cement head. It was marble, and don't take that for granted. But anyway, hologram? Oh, yes. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the sword, wound by the sword, and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak. Do we have images that speak to us? Do we have computer systems that can talk and reason with you and communicate with you back and forth and make demands on you? And cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. You know, this thing with Obama, I know I'm really hammering that today, but I can't help it. I see Islam rising up. They got a new communication center to manage all the news of the world. And where did they put it? In the UAE, United Arab Emirates. Surrounded by satellite dishes everywhere. to manage all the news of the world. They got another system that they set up. It's a big building that they built over there in the United Arab Emirates. And it is a building dedicated to administer Islamic law all over the world. It's manned 24 hours a day, communication lines where any government, any people can tap into it and find out what to do in regard to circumstances in the light of Islamic law. Now, what's going on? It's a two-horned beast has risen up. And when I think of some of these American names, if you want to call it that, from early in our country and, you know, the various ones, think of these names like Washington, Lincoln, Jefferson, Adams. Or how about the signers of our Declaration of Independence? Lyman Hall, Gwinnett, Walton, Hooper, Hughes, Penn, Rutledge, Reed, Stockton, Witherspoon, Payne, Hopkinson, Hart, Clark, Bartlett, Jerry, Whipple, Adams, all these names, and then stick Obama in there. Does something not fit? Is this not a square pig in a round, pardon me, peg in a round hole? Something is wrong somewhere. You don't mind as little slips of the tongue, do you? Something is wrong somewhere. Desperately, drastically wrong. And all of this tells me, yes, I see it. The Bible said it. I see it with my own eyes. We live right now in it. We are experiencing the rising of this last beast coming up out of the earth, this dual quarnain. You see how Islam has taken over in the world of sports. You got these Karims and Abduls and all these guys and playing football and basketball, all these different ones, and Omars. And hey, where'd this all come from? I don't remember that when I was a child. You didn't have any of that. But the two-horned one has risen up. And what is behind it? Well, of course, you see that smirk and that smile on his face. The Chicago gangster. Now, how many churches would you have to try out before you heard something like this? Huh? Okay. Now, and this system demands the death of all who will not comply. Verse 16 says, "And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads," in the hand or forehead. A mark, Greek word, charagma, to cut into the flesh, so that you can interface. You are a little part of that computer, that system that speaks and demands that you be obedient. "That no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark," the charagma, the cutting in the flesh, "or the name of the beast, or the number of his name." Here is wisdom, something this world sadly lacks. "Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 600, 66, 666. Do you know how many verses are in the Quran? 666. What does that mean? That means once the world becomes 6,000 years old, there's your first six, you will have a 666 power rise up in it. And in the year 2004, our old world turned 6,000. Is a power rising up? In the Quran, there are 6,666, or 666 verses. Now, if you think that's coincidental, then I urge you to think about it for a while. Because it isn't. All of these things are with purpose. Satan has a blueprint. He's working that blueprint. Isn't it something, you know, I only have minutes left, but when you look at Revelation 18. Now remember, this system demands you be a part of it, or you can't buy and you can't sell. Is the economic system failing right now? We are in a depression, and they refuse to admit it. Bush won't even admit we're in a recession. The economists are all saying we're in a deep recession, but they don't want to say depression. Now you go over to Europe, they're all saying depression. But again, that's Europe. You know, say the Indians had it right, you know, when they saw us coming. White man speak with forked tongue. Right? You won't get it straight over here. But in Revelation 18, we don't have time to do much of this. I just want to hit a high point here. It talks about the fall of Babylon. But you see, there is a rising of Egypt. The residue after Babylon falls is that Egyptian beast with that new pharaoh with the two horns. And isn't it something how Pharaoh is he's the first one that you really read about insisting that babies be killed in the Bible, that he makes a proclamation as a head of state that babies be killed. Barack Obama has stated that even if a baby somehow survives an abortion and lives, you must kill that baby. That's what he believes. Now any man that has, what does he have for a heart? A sewer pump? It's what it is, an Islamic sewer pump. Anybody can tell me, get off Islam. I think we better stay on it because it's rising up against us. And nobody can say it isn't. It's everywhere. And every kind of accommodation is being made for them. They put all their holidays on the calendars now. The two-horned dual quarnain. You can read it in the Quran yourself if you want to, if you can get a copy. It's in there. But notice something that happens at the very end. God's judgment hits. And it says in verse 15 of Revelation 18, the merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing. Why? Failed economic system. God pours judgment on it. And saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. Why? In 1 hour, it tells us. For in 1 hour, so great riches has come to naught. People wake up one morning thinking they got a 401k and suddenly it isn't there anymore. One woman said, I was going to retire next year. Now I've got to wait 15 years to get back even to where I was. Well, wait until it all falls and comes down. You and I need to look to God like we have never looked to Him before, with much more intensity, more fervent praying. Satan's blueprint is nearly complete, but God is going to edit it right at the end and put that thing through the shredder. I don't know, I may continue this yet one more time. It seems unfinished to me. So keep me in prayer. I think I know where to go from here. I just don't know what I'm going to do yet. Keep me in prayer. We may have a third part to this. But right now we're out of time. And so we're going to pray together. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy word, for Thy greatness, for Thy goodness, and that we can have understanding of those things that are happening all around us. Be Thou with us, O God. Watch over us and help us. For we declare Thy truth, no matter what happens. We know this is right. Thy word declares it. Therefore we stand upon it. Let Thy people be blessed and led by Thy Spirit, and let fear not take hold of any of us. For Thou hast given us perfect love, which casteth out all fear. Guide and direct us, I pray, and let Thy name be glorified. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Let Satan have no power over us. Amen and amen.